So I wanted to take a few minutes to reflect on a few key points around the practice that have been supportive for me, and then to open it to questions and discussion for a little while. So the first piece I want to bring in is this notion or the sense of the receptive versus the directed in terms of attention. So at a certain point in my practice, I thought that if I wasn't choosing where my mindfulness was, then it meant I wasn't being mindful. So if I didn't have control, if I didn't choose to say, this is where my attention is, then that wasn't mindfulness. And so this is a key distinction around the directed versus the receptive practice. The directed practice, we are choosing where to put our attention. And, if we're not with that, then we redirect back. In the receptive practice, though, we are kind of more curious about where is the attention naturally happening. So the factor of attention is different than the factor of mindfulness. And I'll give an example of how you might see that or know that kind of intuitively. So imagine you're walking down the street and lost in thought, not aware, not present, not mindful. And yet you are walking down the street and you something is paying attention to the path, to the trees, to other people. So there's something that is paying attention. And so there is a part of our mind that has this capacity to attend to experience, whether or not we are mindful. So attention happens. Like, this is a function that takes care of us in so many ways. You know, driving down the freeway, we're lost in thought, and yet we can get on our right exit, because the factor of attention is working. And so this is one way that we can recognize that mindfulness and attention are not the same. They're different. They're different functions in the mind. And I would say that attention has a kind of interesting capacity to it. It has the possibility where we can choose where to put our attention. We can right now I can support that by suggesting you attend to the sensations of your hands. Attend to the sensations of your feet. Well, there's a kind of a choice there, which I'm supporting in naming these areas. And we can do this internally. We can choose, I'm going to pay attention to this. Now, we don't often have a lot of control over how long we pay attention to that thing, but we do have a choice. You know, we can choose to direct our attention. Much like we can choose, in a way, to control the breath at times. You know, we can choose to say, I'm going to breathe in and I'm going to breathe out. And yet if we don't choose to breathe in and breathe out, breathing will happen. So there's a kind of a way in which the breath is both amenable to conscious control, and it also will do it. It will breathe itself if you're not in charge of saying, breathe in, breathe out. And similarly with the tension, we can consciously choose where to put attention. And yet if we are not consciously choosing, there are processes in our hearts and minds that choose something to pay attention to. And largely that's based on conditioning, on our habits, on our patterns. And so essentially what we're doing in this receptive practice is we're starting to get familiar with how our minds have been conditioned. What are they kind of drawn to pay attention to? So this is just an important part to recognize, that when we're doing the receptive awareness, it doesn't mean that attention isn't working, but we're just choosing to kind of watch how the mind is, rather than choosing, I'm going to pay attention to this, we are settling back and letting essentially the history, the conditioning of our lives allow the be allowed to kind of choose what we attend to. And so this, in a way, what we do in watching or observing where the attention lands is we're seeing our conditioning. We're seeing something about how and why we are put together. So that's just one point I wanted to bring in, the difference, the distinction between attention and mindfulness, and to kind of shake up or break that idea, if it exists in you, that you need to be choosing what to pay attention to in order to be mindful. Mindfulness can function whether we are choosing what to pay attention to or simply receiving what the mind is paying attention to. So those choices of what we're attending to are being made sometimes consciously and sometimes more subconsciously. So that's one piece. And then the other piece I wanted to just bring in is practice habits. Some of you may have noticed, if you have a familiar way of practicing that is not this way, certainly when I started this practice, I noticed that for myself what I had kind of cultivated was an attention to the body. So, you know, that's where my attention went. And so when I relaxed and just let the attention kind of naturally choose itself, you know, it's like what happened when I relaxed and let the mind receive what it wanted to receive? It received body sensations. And this, for some of you, may be happening in this practice. If you relax and just settle back and just receive what's happening, you may notice that you're paying attention to the breath or some other area of experience that is kind of what you have cultivated, what you have learned. And so this is natural that this will happen. So what I'd like to suggest here is there's different ways to relate to the arising of practice habits. We can the first thing that I'd like to suggest is there could be two different ways in which they happen. One that when you relax because of the habit of the practice, that relaxation kind of just guides you into the choice of that practice habit, which is what happened for me. When I relaxed, it's like I noticed body sensations. And I went and reported to Sayadaw. I said, you know, when I relax and receive, what I receive is body sensations. I'm not seeing what's going on in the mind. And he said, well, you know, you need to consciously broaden what you are attending to there. You know, it's fine that when you relax, it's body sensations, but you need to consciously broaden your attention. He didn't tell me how I should do that. And so I kind of went back and just like, okay, I don't know what to do here, but I decided to just start with relaxing and seeing what happened. And so as I did that, I relaxed, I received, and then I remembered the other instruction that Sayadaw gives, which is check the attitude. And so that's what I did. I started noticing, okay, well, here's the mind relaxing. What it naturally notices is body sensation. And how is the mind? The mind was really happy and very calm. And I had not noticed that. And so this is one way to explore kind of opening your practice habit. You know, it's like, let your practice habit start. You know, whatever's unfolding, it's like, that's what's arising. But then bring in that curiosity about, and how is the mind right now? It began to help me to understand how to observe the mind as I did that. So maybe your practice habit, and your practice habits can contain many things. I mean, for me, it was fortunate for me in a way that there was a lot of relaxation and ease, and that was a doorway into noticing the mind of relaxation and ease. You might also notice, if as a practice habit is unfolding, if you check the relationship or attitude, you might notice a kind of a grabbing or holding. And so that's useful to see. This is how the mind is relating to that practice habit. Maybe seeing that tension, there can be a little bit of releasing of it. Just the seeing of it can help that. So that's one approach, basically, with practice habits, is as you notice them coming up, if it feels like the way they come up is when you relax, they appear, I would encourage a checking the attitude, checking the relationship, as that happens. sometimes when a practice habit comes up, if it comes up for a little while, you know, we might find that our practice habit has some doing to it. The practice of the receptive awareness is quite a low amount of doing. You know, we're not aiming the attention. We're not trying to hold on to anything in particular, and so the receptive practice is moving in the direction of non-doing, just receiving, just knowing what's here. There's a little bit of doing in terms of the attention to, or the kind of gentle persistence to keep the mindfulness going. But if you find your practice habit has some engagement to it, like there's a doing to it, like for instance, if metta practice comes up, you know, you might find that maybe initially, if you've cultivated a lot of metta practice, as you relax, it's just like you see yourself doing the metta phrases, and it's not particularly effortful. And yet, because there is an effort habit around that practice habit, we might find that as the practice habit comes up, that we kind of jump on the bandwagon of the practice habit and start doing it. And we start, you know, engaging with the metta phrases. If we start maybe bringing our attention to the breath and trying to stay with the breath. And so if you notice in noticing the practice habit that there's a kind of a doing involved in it, that you're trying to keep that practice going, see if you can let go of that effort. Let go of the doing of the practice habit. Sometimes the practice habit might continue in a less effortful way, which is actually interesting to notice that, you know, we can be with our breath, with not trying to hold on to it. So the, you know, exploring that possibility of noticing a practice habit, if there's a kind of an engagement with the practice habit, just letting go and maybe going back to relaxation, relaxing the body, relaxing the mind. If there's an engagement with it, often there can be some tension there. So letting that release and then just reminding yourself. It's just like, right, it's just receptive. Just relax and receive the experience. So those are the two pieces I wanted to just speak to a little bit. Both of those were helpful for me in my exploration of a shift to this kind of practice. So questions, comments, descriptions of what's happening for you. I'm interested in hearing what's going on. Yeah, and use the mics.